We are at the allotment, Lexi and Lonan Allotments. Welcome to the podcast. This is the bit that we record when we finish on air, because there's always stuff that we can't fit in, Beth. There's so much to talk about at the allotments, isn't there?
There really is. And I think what we're finding month on month, of course, it evolves, it changes, and we learn so many things. The sun is blazing here now. When we first started, we got here sort of just after 1:30-ish, and it was really quite misty and cloudy, but the sun is out. Everything is looking glorious. And quite literally blooming.
Oh, it is blooming. And we've been talking to a couple here who we've spoken to on previous episodes of the allotments programme here. And we've got Bob and Sue Moon with us. And we were talking to them initially about how their plots has progressed, which is incredible. It just looks so wonderful. And you can go back and listen to the programme to hear about that. But there's something we didn't get an update on, Beth, which is above us, shall we say.
Sky?
Not right now, but bats. Now, the last time we talked to you, you were talking about a project that you wanted to do with bats. Just remind people, first of all, what the idea was.
Oh, yes. The idea was a citizen science project where we've enrolled volunteers and they're now out doing surveys for us using some new equipment that we acquired with the benefit of a lottery grant, which is really excellent, and we're starting to build up a picture of whereabouts bats are in the island, and that's going exceedingly well. But as part of our survey effort this year, we've also got a team over from the UK this week, and it's very exciting for us because they're helping us with some advanced survey techniques that we don't really have on the Isle of Man, and it involves trapping bats using mist nets and harp traps. And last night we were trapping in Groudle Glen, and we managed to capture a whiskered bat, which is actually quite rare to find within the island. We've known it's been here, but if I say that I've been working with Manx bats for about 18 years now, and I've had maybe 4 whiskered bats in the hand in that time, so it was excellent. We attached a radio transmitter to this little bat, released it, and today we've been roaming the Manx countryside with sort of TV aerials. They look like TV aerials, but they're direction finding equipment. And we've found the tree that the bat is holed up in during the day. So I think what we're going to do is tomorrow we're going to go back to that tree and see if it's moved on, and if so, try and make sense of how these animals use the countryside.
Does that mean we can call you Batman?
Oh, go on.
Something tells me he's heard that before. And tell us, Sue, about bats in relation to the allotment, because I think there are quite a few around here, aren't there?
They love the diverse environment because you've got all the weeds over there, and they really like eating moths. It's not just the flies and the midges, and those are generating lots of caterpillars that produce the moths at night time. There you'll find lots of the larger bats hawking over there. Like the Leislers coming down to take the larger moths, but then you've got the trees, the natural vegetation, the ash and the oak up there. So we'll have the pipistrelles and the long-eareds and the whiskered that we found coming and feeding around there. Yeah,
amazing to think. And I've got to say, even here just a few minutes ago, we were treated to another beautiful sight, more of the bird variety, weren't we?
Yes, we saw a sparrowhawk. I was just looking over Bob's shoulder and you were all talking about things. I got very excited because a sparrowhawk dived down there, saw something it wanted, and then it was chased up by a gull. And I noted everyone's attention, and we all watched as it flew off over to Laxey. Yeah, being chased by the gull.
Amazing. You see, there's so much to see and experience up here. It's just beautiful and so important to get out of nature. It helps me on a monthly basis, Beth, I have to say.
It really does. And we talked a little bit during the show, Bob and Sue, about how wonderful your allotment looks now. Considering you've had relatively short amount of time working on it, how often are you up here?
We try and get up here at least once a week. Now that we've improved the soil on our raised beds, the weeds are starting to take off. We did have a breathing space when the soil wasn't so good because not even the weeds were growing particularly well. But that is well and truly over, so we have to make sure we keep the weeds down to choke out our little darlings here. And, you know, they do say if you speak to plants, they grow better.
I've heard you have to speak to them in a Geordie accent, apparently, for maximum effect.
Oh dear.
Just telling you.
That sounded like a challenge to me.
I'm just saying that was a little fact that Alex Brindley had on his show once. Do you not remember?
What it's all about, speaking in a Geordie accent.
Yeah, I don't know.
Come on, Flower.
Bob and Sue, it was great to see you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Now, you were talking about weeds there. As was said by, I think it was either Winnie the Pooh or one of the characters said, weeds are flowers too when you get to know them.
Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah, and just before
it?
We came on air, we had little Holly's here, and she picked up a weed and was saying that it was a weed, but Tanya pointed out that actually weeds are very useful too, because Holly had picked up a bit of plantain, and plantain is something that Tanya uses for making products and the like, and turns it into an oil with the comfrey and the calendula as well. So you can make use of everything you find. Now, Tanya, we're back with Tanya now on her allotment. You have a basket full of goodness. Tell us what you've been picking.
Well, it's only really been about 5 or 10 minutes, and I've already picked all of these gooseberries and red currants, and I need to get them fast because I've spotted quite a few wasps making their way over here, and they'll burrow into the sides of the berries and get all that juicy goodness.
See, I didn't know that wasps ate gooseberries. Who knew?
Yeah, oof, no. So is there anything we can help with? Do we need to pick some?
Sure,
or have you done
come around over here. I've got some red currants here that need picking, and there's black currants over here in the corner.
Wonderful.
Now, both red currants and gooseberries, I think, are sort of known for being a little bit tart and sharp, shall we say. So what are you going to do with these?
So these are going to be going into preserves. So I'm going to make some gooseberry jam, and that is basically equal quantities and weight of gooseberries and sugar and a bit of lemon juice. And then the same for the red currants. And red currant jelly is really great with Swedish meatballs, if you like those. Or if you have cheese boards, great with cheese boards.
Game, I think. Really strong flavours. It goes really well with strong flavours, doesn't it? So we're going to start picking some things. And what will be the next thing you harvest? I think you've got, oh gosh, look at those cabbages. You've got some fantastic cabbages on the go.
I've got cabbages, there's Brussels sprouts, there's kaolettes, which is new to me this year. It's a cross between kale and Brussels sprouts. So they're kind of like frilly Brussels sprouts. But back over here with the berries, you can see all my blueberry bushes are covered in
blueberries.
Berries.
Do you know, I didn't even know you could grow blueberries over here. For some reason, I thought you had to have a really hot climate.
No, there's actually wild types of blueberries that grow here. But these are the cultivated varieties, and they love the slightly acidic soil, and they love the climate. They do really, really well here.
And they're very good for you. And Monty on Gardener's World was talking about a sort of combo fruit, blackberry and raspberry, is it? A tabery or something?
Taberies. They are next on my list to add to the allotments. And yeah, they're incredible.
There you go.
Holly is busy picking here.
She's doing such
a good job. You're doing very
well,
Holly. You've got just the right sized hands for doing that. Do you like picking berries?
Yeah.
Which is your favourite kind of berry?
Is a strawberry a berry?
Strawberry is a berry, yes. Is that your favourite? Because we've actually grown some strawberries at home, Christy. I don't like to brag, but we've actually grown real-life strawberries that you can actually eat.
And your sweet peas are looking magnificent,
well,
I have
thank
to
you.
Say. I think she's picking up some good tips from Tanya. Just one thing, Tanya, before we wrap up the podcast that I wanted to talk about. You were saying as well, there's things you have to be obviously a little bit careful of around the garden, especially this time of year. I noticed a couple of weeks ago you did put something up about foxgloves, because there's still quite a few of those around. What do we need to be aware of with them?
Foxgloves are generally harmless, but they are poisonous, very poisonous. So if you can have them in the garden, you have to make sure that you're not going to have kids or dogs that are going to go after them. If they're well aware of that, totally fine. And they're such a beneficial wildlife plant. I mean, bees absolutely love foxgloves. But there's a few others to be concerned about as well. So this time of the year, it's going to be hogweed. And it's not just the giant hogweed that you've heard horror stories about either. The common hogweed can also cause the same kind of blistering. And in fact, we have a member here at the allotment who showed up to our social on Sunday, and she had cotton gloves on. And I asked, what happened? What's wrong? She'd been weeding underneath her berry bushes and had accidentally pulled out some hogweed. The juice had gotten on her hands, and it actually took 1 or 2 days for the blisters and the welts and the swelling to basically cover her hands. It basically reacts to sunlight as well, and it strips your skin of being able to protect itself from UV light, and it's just dreadful. So you have to be very careful when weeding.
So just describe the hogweed for us so we know.
It's a tall plant with an umbel type flower, white flower. You'll probably recognize it if you've been out for a walk. And if you're here at the allotment, you just look around all the sides and all of the areas where we have wildflowers, and it's just a white sea of hogweed right now, which is great for wildlife. I mean, you'll see all kinds of different insects on top just feeding off mm-hmm. the flowers. But it's the juice that we have to worry about with ourselves and our skin.
I noticed actually when I went out for a walk around the coast the other week, there was lots of it. And there are insects that quite enjoy making use of it, shall we say, as a bed. That's all I'm going to say. I think Tani knows what I'm talking about.
Well, I've got
Beth's
no idea.
Ever so to, innocent, so she's
me.
Not. Yeah, I know.
Tell me afterwards. I don't know what's going on. But thank you so much for downloading this podcast. Go to the Max Radio Facebook page, as I say, to see all the photographs and the videos. And we will be back next month, Tanya. As ever, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.